Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa. Once again, by the Lord's grace, it is my real joy to look to the Scripture, to worship the great, true, and living God, the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who is eternally existent in three divine persons. It is also my great blessing to meet with you, dear friend, via the airwaves of Radio ABC in this teaching and preaching ministry of the Word of God. Today, by the Lord's will, it is our blessing to continue in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 18, which in the New King James Version of the Holy Bible says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." We continue today in another aspect of prayer, that is this most interesting subject of the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit's intercession for believers. We see that Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them," a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ's intercession for his people. He is the eternal intercessor for us. Friends, you can learn more about our ministry, Mission Africa, at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. Let us pray. Father, in high glory, we give you thanks and praise for your lovely and wonderful Son, the blessed Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to make atonement for the sins of your people and to save them to the uttermost. We give you praise, too, that he ever lives to make intercession for us. And I pray that as we look at the intercession of Christ, as we find it in the Scripture today, and at the intercessory work of the Holy Spirit, that if you will, you would be pleased to bless these precious truths to our hearts, and that we might be greatly comforted and encouraged, knowing that constant, perfect prayer is made for us by our lovely intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give him glory and thanks and praise. It's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. The subject of Christ's intercession for his people and the Spirit's intercession for the people of God is found clearly in the New Testament teaching. We find that in Romans chapter 8. We also find references to intercession in other parts of the Bible, particularly in the book of Hebrews. And we want to look at those verses in a short while, but let's begin our teaching about the intercession of Christ and the Holy Spirit by defining what the word intercession means. In Greek, the word intercession, as we find it in the New Testament, is derived from words that mean to chance upon or confer with. And by extension, the meaning of the word intercession is to entreat, to seek a blessing, either good or evil, for or against, to deal with, or simply to make intercession. Romans chapter 11, verse 2 helps us to understand the meaning of the word intercession. That verse says, "God has not cast away his people which he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture said of Elijah, how he made intercession to God against Israel?" In this verse, we see that God had always known his people Israel. That is, he knew them before the foundations of the earth, before the creation, before their personal creation. And the teaching about Elijah in the Old Testament is given to amplify the great truth that God has not cast away his people. And we find that Elijah intercedes against Israel. That is, he pleads with God against Israel to, in a sense, judge Israel. And that section of verses continues to teach that God indeed had not forsaken his people Israel, that he had reserved thousands of people who believed in his name to himself in Israel. He sustained their lives for his worship by them. So Elijah interceded with God, pleaded with God for a judgment against Israel. We see in this that intercession is a pleading with God. The word in English means a mediation, a pleading, and a prayer in behalf of others. And the word intercession from the Latin, from the root words intercessio and intercedo, means the act of interceding, that is, mediation, interposition between parties at variance with a view to reconciliation. Synonyms of the English word for intercession are these: mediate, arbitrate, advocate, petition for, plead for, step in, intervene, or interpose. The idea is that one comes between two parties or people who are at odds with one another, with a view of pleading for reconciliation. That idea is communicated so clearly in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16, in a wonderful verse that has been a source of encouragement and help to many of us. That verse says, "He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him." Ultimately, this is God's declaration that there was no intercessor found for man, because there was no righteous man to stand in the gap between God and estranged sinful men. So that God wondered that there was no intercessor. This doesn't mean that God didn't understand fully this situation. The remarkable wording simply communicates that God noted with great wonder. This was understanding that God had, that there was indeed no intercessor for men who had gone astray from him. Isaiah tells us that because of this, God powerfully brought salvation, that is, he saved sinners and brought them to him, and his own righteousness, sinners to be counted as righteous, to become righteous in Christ. And God's power sustained God's appointed intercessor. The intercessor that God has given, that he did not find among men, is none the less than the Lord Jesus Christ, his powerful Son, who has brought salvation, brought sinners to him, and his own righteousness sustained his glorious and powerful Son, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Other verses in the Bible that deal with intercession are one of my favorites, Isaiah 53, verse 12. "Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." We see here again that Jesus Christ has made intercession, that Jesus Christ has delivered the people of God from their sins. He has stepped into the gap. He has intervened. He has mediated. He has brought mediation. And he continues as the mediator of God's people. Jeremiah speaks of intercession, that is, someone arbitrating, advocating for others. In Jeremiah 7:16, the Word of God says, "Therefore pray not for this people, neither cry out or pray for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear you." That's such a sad truth that God commands Jeremiah to not even pray for the people that he had determined he was going to judge. One must think that Jeremiah was faithful to the Lord's commandment and did not cry out or pray for them. One of the greatest mercies that we can enjoy is the cry, is the prayer of others for us. And the prayer of others for us, the prayer of Christians, true believers, is such a powerful intercession for others that it brings the gospel to people who cannot be saved apart from the gospel. One of the great works of intercession in praying for the salvation of others is the aspect of God's giving the gospel to people that they may believe it and be saved and so draw near to Him. In this sense, the gospel is our nearness to God, and God is near to us in the gospel. When people do not have the gospel, then they cannot be near God. And when intercession for a people is lacking, the gospel is also usually lacking. Jeremiah 27 verse 18 says, "But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem go not to Babylon." Here, in an ironic twist, Jeremiah speaks of the fact that false prophets could not intercede successfully with the Lord. They could not ask God to spare the vessels of the Lord's house, for instance. The vessels of the Lord's house were stolen away by the Babylonians and were taken to Babylon, where the captive Israelites were taken. They were impotent to make intercession for even this matter because they did not believe in God. They were not near God. And Jeremiah 36:25 says, "Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them." In this instance, counselors to the king plead with the king that he will not destroy the word of God that has come through Jeremiah, that has been written upon a scroll, but the ungodly king destroys the word of God. Romans 8, 26 and 27, which we want to look at in a different light later, says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for." Infirmities means weaknesses. "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." This speaks of the intercessory work of the Holy Spirit for God's people. He prays perfectly, knowing the people of God, and he prays perfectly because he is God, knowing the will and mind of God. Romans 8, verse 34 says, "Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yes, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Wonderfully here, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is ascended to the right hand of God, makes intercession for God's people. So there is no one who can condemn a Christian. Christ intercedes for them, and they are not condemned. They are justified. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11 says, "While you on your part lend us your aid in entreaty," that is, a seeking on behalf for others, so that from many lips thanksgivings may rise on our behalf for the blessing granted to us at the intercession of many. This speaks of prayer on behalf of others, the thanksgiving that is given because of the prayer that has been made for the people prayed for, and the granting of this intercession for others, this pleading on behalf of others. In these verses, we see that the primary meaning in the word intercession and in the word intercessor is that of mediation with a view to reconciliation. It is that Jesus Christ, our intercessor, is God's provided intercessor. He is standing between God and sinful men in mediation, and his mediation results in reconciliation with God's people. That is, the enmity that is between God and his people, who are sinners by nature, is that the justified sinners are reconciled, made to be at peace with God. This reconciliation in their salvation is related to and involved propitiation. Propitiation is Jesus Christ's great work of sacrificially shedding his blood to make expiation, that is, removal, to make atonement, that is, covering over. He did this, he shed his blood for the remission of sin and to appease, that is, to stop the anger of God that was expressed to them because of their sinfulness. Jesus Christ, our intercessor, has reconciled us to God, made propitiation, and has become our mediator, our eternal intercessor and great high priest with God. Another point that we want to consider today is that Jesus Christ, our intercessor, is also our great high priest. The high priest in the Old Testament is the appointed minister of God who is the head of all of the priests who would minister in the tabernacle and in the temple in the holy place. And the high priest alone was commanded to enter into the Holy of Holies once a year with blood to make atonement, that is, covering for the sins of the people of Israel. The duties of the high priest, and think of Aaron, the first high priest in the Old Testament dispensation, was that he made gifts and sacrifices. He made atonement for the people. We find that in Leviticus chapter 16. He inquired of God for the people. That is, he prayed to God for the people, and he asked God for his will and for grace and mercy for the people of God. We find that in 1 Samuel 23. The high priest was to consecrate Levites, those who served in the temple, and to consecrate the Levitical priests. We find that in Numbers 8. And appointed by God to anoint kings. We find that in 1 Kings chapter 1. To bless the people of God. We find that in Numbers 6. And to preside over courts in legal decisions, in the breaking of the law, both the civic law and the religious laws. Matthew chapter 26 speaks of this. The Old Testament high priest, once again, think of Aaron and his sons who succeeded him and who were appointed to the high priesthood in Israel, were called of God. They did not appoint themselves to this work. The man who was appointed to make atonement for the people was the man that God directed to do this great and awesome work. The high priest, who was himself sinful and subject to temptations, and because he was in this weakened state, he was subject to sin and temptation. He had infirmity. that is weakness, that is, he was not sinless, he was able to have compassion on the people. He understood that they too were weak in this sense. They had infirmity and they committed sin. It was required of the high priest that he be a holy man. He was disqualified for the high priesthood if he became unholy. In fact, the Old Testament high priest had holiness to the Lord written upon a gold plate, which was fastened to his turban that he wore on his head. Holiness to the Lord was positioned at his forehead. The Old Testament high priest's holiness and his being set apart to God was seen in that he could only marry a virgin, and that he alone could enter the Holy of Holies without being destroyed by the presence of God. God himself resided in the Holy of Holies. And a very precise series of steps were given so that he could enter into the presence of God, make atonement, and survive the very holy presence of the great and living God, who is a consuming fire. The high priest had the ministry of intercession. We find that in Numbers 16 and Hebrews 7, that is, he stepped in the gap. He came between the people of God and the holy, awesome, true, and living God. He was a mediator between God and men. And because of this exalted position, he was able to, in the name of God, bless the people of God. We find an instance of that truth in Acts chapter 3. We understand a bit more now about the Old Testament high priest, and we want to now understand more about Jesus Christ, the great high priest of his people, and this knowledge will help us better understand the intercession of Christ for his people, the intercession of the great high priest. For us to gain this better understanding of the intercession of Christ, I want to share truths with you from the book of Hebrews, and I'm simply going to give you truths that we find in the book of Hebrews. We'll be looking at truths that are found in Hebrews chapter 3 through Hebrews chapter 10. I won't make a lot of comment, but the word speaks powerfully of the work of intercession and of the nature of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, we see that Christ Jesus is called the high priest of our confession. An interesting expression. He is the high priest of our confession. We can contrast that to the Levitical high priest, the Old Testament high priest. The Christian confession is one of faith in the person of Christ Jesus, now that he has come to save his people. And he, the Christ, builds all things, the text tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, meaning that he is the creator. He is God who builds, who creates all things. He has more glory and honor than Moses, who was a faithful servant in God's house in the Old Testament. And he has more honor and glory than Moses, who served in the house of God, because he is the builder, the creator of the house of God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the firstborn. He is the highest ranking man. And he is the builder of the church of God, his body. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2 tells us that he was faithful to God. God appointed Jesus Christ as high priest of the house that he built. That is the spiritual body, that is the church. And Jesus Christ was faithful over his own house. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6 tells us that our high priest has passed through the heavens. The Old Testament high priest ministered in an earthly tabernacle which symbolized the things to come. He passed through the veil in an earthly tabernacle or tent. But our great high priest in the Christian dispensation has passed through the very heavens. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 tells us. He has come, born of the Virgin. He lived a sinless life. He suffered and died for God's people. He was crucified for us. He was buried. He was raised up, resurrected to eternal life, and he ascended to heaven, to his Father. He is in session in heaven now. That is, he sits at his Father's right hand. He has been made the head of the entire creation. He ministers and serves as our great and eternal high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. The Lord Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 5, in verses 14 and 15, sympathizes with the people of God. He understands, he feels, and he cares. He has compassion because of our weakness. And he shared in our weakness in the sense that he became a man. He was subject to temptation as a man, though he was a sinless man. He never sinned. He understands the limitations of our human nature. He understands what it means to feel pain. He understands what it means to be tempted. He understands what it means to live as a man, even as a sinless man, in a fallen world. Our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a man like us except for sin. We can draw near him. He fully understands our experiences because he entered fully into our experiences apart from sin. And our great high priest, our compassionate high priest, was tempted as we are. And so we are to come boldly to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to the throne of grace where he sits and serves and acts to obtain from the Lord Jesus Christ mercy and grace to help in our time of need, according to Hebrews 5, verse 16. In Hebrews chapter 5, in verses 1 through 4, we see that a high priest was taken from men, and he was appointed for men in things pertaining to God. The high priest's appointment involved a work of offering gifts and sacrificing for sins. He had compassion on those who are ignorant and straying because he also was subject to weakness, that is, infirmity, to ignorance, and to stray from God in sin. He was to offer sacrifice for sin, for the people's sin, and for his own sin. I must think that this was of great importance to the Old Testament high priests, because they knew that they were sinful and that they must offer an acceptable sacrifice for the atonement of their own sin. I'm sure this helped them to take their great responsibilities very seriously. The high priest was a man who could not assume this position himself, but was only the man called by God to this position, as Aaron was called by God. Friends, our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, is able to save us to the uttermost. That's to the absolute limit, to those who come to God by him. And this is because the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, lives eternally. And as he lives forever, he forever makes intercession for his people. in God's purpose without spot or blemish or any such thing, and to make them blessed in the enjoyment of God forever. This is the work of Christ, our great high priest. So I encourage all who are listening today to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest of his people, who saves every sinner who believes in him and repents of their sins, who ever lives to make intercession for them. How comforting that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is praying for you, dear Christian believer, and will always live and always pray for you. Friends, let us pray. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. We give you thanks. We adore you, our great high priest. Love to you forevermore. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.